Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad and Mark Quitt. We're your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Busier week now as we are moving through the first month of the year and more companies coming out with news. We've had a lot more company interviews and a few more market moves for us to talk about here is the bullish scenario for markets, I think, is being brought a little bit more into question as we did have some weakness this week. But look, the market's recovering a little bit at the end of the week. And overall, we're still seeing a lot of sectors trading hand in hand with each other. We'll get to all these topics as well as have a bigger picture discussion on what a recession looks like and if we are in a recession at the tail end of this show. We're kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader as well as 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. And Rick, as we were chatting with you last month, you took us through just how much that 7-Eleven report beat the S&P. Let's start off with U.S. equity markets. As I mentioned, there were a couple weak days today for the U.S. markets. They are recovering a little bit at the end of the week. But if you go back and look at the levels that markets are trading at, the S&P trading at levels that we first saw back in May, June of last year, from that point, it's just been choppy. Kind of sideways movement, still seems to be a downward bias. Rick, what's your thought? Has this U.S. market run its course?
Well, Corey, thanks for having me, and Chad, always a pleasure. Has it run its course? Well, we're still in a down market. I look at it that way. Certainly, we've had a bounce off of the October lows, but the rally continues to fail. Everybody sees this, that the downtrend line from all-time highs continues to be the lid on every rally. And until we break that, I look at this as generally a downward market. If it breaks, if prices break above kind of the, 4,005 level, something like that is where that line is, you certainly could see a further push higher. It doesn't mean the whole market is going to recover and we're going back up to 4,500 and all-time highs the way a lot of the perma bulls think we are, but it certainly could continue to give a near-term lift. And, I came into the year with a tactical bullish scenario, but a larger overall strategic bearish scenario, because I still don't think that the major issues that are at hand for stocks is fully priced in. And I think you get bulls who will constantly say everything's priced in. And, all this news about Russia and the recession and higher interest rates, we all know it's all priced in. I don't think it's priced in at all, or better said, that it's already priced in. Yes, we all know that, but when you see the markets react the way they do at times, falling as quickly as they can, it shows me that it's not all priced in. When the market stalled last week at 4,000 in the beginning of this week, and we tail off right away, it shows you it's not fully priced in. And certainly on the retail side, there's no way that the average individual investor has sold all the stock they're going to based on the headlines. So I think, as is often the case, perma bulls have what we call from behavioral finance theory, confirmation bias. They look for news that supports their view on why the market will go up. They basically exclude reasons that are right in front of them that the market may go down. And right now, I'll say that I'm still, I don't know, maybe mildly a little bit tactically bullish, but I'm more in the camp that we could very well continue through the first quarter, not breaking or materially breaking out above that downtrend line, which, again, is just above where we're trading, and even if we do, not having a substantial rally, as well as not going down and taking out the lows from October. So I think it's actually going to be a tough start to the year for a lot of equity traders, even evidenced by the fact that we moved up like we did since January 1st, and then in a couple days this week gave back a fair amount of those gains. The markets react very quickly to news now, and in a very short amount of trading time can both gain and lose whatever they've made recently. So I kind of look for choppy trading, and trend followers are probably going to be disappointed because just as they feel like they have enough evidence that a new trend has started, it's going to end and turn around the other way. So I look for choppy markets. The VIX is near 20. You know, it's on the low end of the range. We got into the 18 handle at one point a few days back. I'm not saying that the marketplace is complacent, but the fact that option sellers are looking for far less now to write options than they had months ago does suggest that there's less fear out there. Do I think the Fed's close to being done? I don't. I see the chance for a further inversion of the yield curve this year, too. And I think that'll be the key thing to watch is really whether you look at 2s to 10s or 3 months to 10s, watching the spread is probably going to be the best indication of what the marketplace is really looking at going forward.
Well, Rick, is it possible that people that are perma bullish or perma bearish, for that matter, may be disappointed, and we may just stay in a choppy market where there is no real trend or direction until something later in the year shifts? Is there any big drivers fundamentally macro that you see getting us out of these choppy waters?
Well, I think there could be. Right now, things are fairly status quo. Let's say the Republicans and Democrats foolishly don't come to terms on the debt ceiling, which would be hard to think that that would actually be the case when it comes down to it. But let's say they dig their heels in and can't come to terms. That's a big issue. If something happens geopolitically between U.S. and China that is unforeseen now, that can change the game. If something happens, either that Putin does something in the Ukraine war that's beyond the scope of what he's done so far, that could change the game. If something hadn't happened to Putin's health where he has to step back, that could change the game. So there are a lot of macro fundamentals at hand, and we're not even talking about the Fed at this point, that could disrupt the bigger game in either direction that's not built in and is very difficult to build into how people will view the market going forward.
All right, Rick, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. We're going to dive into a few other sectors, including the metals. For everyone listening on the radio, if you want to hear this full interview without the commercial breaks, all you need to do is visit our website, aereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting. We're going to be right back with Rick Benzinger.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Rick, shifting focus a little bit to the precious metals. Let's go to gold first, because just this month, gold is still up about $100, trading right around that 1920 level. That's about a 5% move already, just in the first 3 weeks of this month. Follows through on the last 2 months of up months. Looks like it's going to be 3 months in a row of gold going up. That is after 7 months in a row of gold going down. What's your take on the gold market?
Well, that fake breakdown that happened in the fall, let's call it September through October, that set up this move. And I've been around markets long enough that I've seen this type of thing many, many times in my over 40 years on the street. And it would suggest that gold is going to test and possibly even exceed all-time highs. So I'm bullish gold. I still own the bulk of my gold. I did sell some out on that breakdown, as was kind of the right thing to do based on standard analysis. But I still have about 80% of the position I had, for over the last several years. And I think gold is going higher. So I'm looking to buy pullbacks. I'm holding what I have, and I'm looking to buy pullbacks and adding to the position in gold, because that move to me, that false breakdown that took a lot of, open interest came out and the trade covered into the public and the funds selling sets up a move in the opposite direction that should minimally test the upper end of the range. So I'll say anything, kind of north of 2,000. Per ounce, and potentially sets up even a bigger up move. So I do like gold, and we'll continually look for places to add.
Well, Rick, it also seemed like one of the things that aided gold when it was kind of diving down at the end of last year in the fourth quarter, same thing with silver and the mining stocks, was when we saw rates pull back and we saw the dollar keep rolling over even harder. It seemed like 2022 really was a teeter-totter year, where on one side was interest rates and the dollar, on everything else was on the other side of the teeter-totters. Do you think that was a factor in gold's move higher and then the markets move higher? And how do you see interest rates and the dollar set up for this year?
Yeah, so I think the strength in the dollar that we saw in the early part of the year was part of the heaviness that we saw in gold, and then finally, the breakdown in the early fall. But that's fairly close in time to when the dollar peaked, and since then, if we use the dollar index as the proxy, let's say it's gone from 113 or so, and this week got into the 101 handle, and today it's over 102. And I'm actually, you guys get my research, that I'm looking for a tactical long in the dollar down here, in this 102, 101 level that I've identified for a few months as the potential near-term bottom for a trade. I don't know if the dollar is going to break under 100. If it does, then that probably changes the game for everything related to the dollar for potentially a further decline. But right now, I kind of feel like the dollar, you're talking about, last I looked, I think it's 80% or more are bearish the dollar. And I think it's become also somewhat of a one-sided trade. And I look at charts and do some analysis, and it says to me that somewhere down around here is a place we could see a bounce from. And if we get, a minor trading bounce, I don't think it interrupts gold's rally. If we get a significant bounce, then it'll help pull gold back, and I would welcome that, because I do think gold's heading higher on this move, and that if you can get that $100 back that it's added this year, that'd be great. Anything, I'd say anywhere at this point from 18 and a quarter to 1850 would be a good place to be buying for a move that'll take you over 2000.
Rick, one quick question then on the gold stocks. You mentioned how gold could be testing out all-time highs. Those all-time highs relate back to 2020, even early 2021, and then back to 2011. What about the underlying gold stocks? If we use something like GDX as a barometer for the gold stocks, that ETF that holds a lot of the miners, in its run up in 2020, it didn't reach those all-time highs. It was about 30% off of those all-time highs.
Right, not even close.
From 2011. So then how does that correlate over to something like GDX, where gold performed very well? The stocks still gave you some gains, but they didn't get to those highs.
No. And I'm not sure they will either. right now, but I can make the case that GDX, which is, I don't know, 32-ish now, should, on this move, minimally get to 36, but I'm thinking it should test that 2020 high at 45-ish, and possibly even get to 51. But I can't tell you right now that I have a reason to see it get above 65, which is the all-time high back in, I think, 2011 or so.
Well, Rick, while we're on the topic of commodities, I would like to get your thoughts on energy, because I know it's one of the main components of your 7-11 report that you look at, either weighting higher or lower, and energy was a big theme last year. It's still a big theme today. What's your take on oil and nat gas and the energy stocks?
So oil, I'm friendly towards. As I said recently to a portfolio strategist, I may not know the next $10, but if I had to guess the next 20, 30, 40, and 50, it's to the upside. So I am bullish oil. What is the tougher one here is the complete decimation of natural gas, which has just gotten crushed. And that's been, I guess, let's call that a beneficial windfall to European consumers who have been dealing with very high natural gas prices. But the combination of stockpiling that took place in Europe and a warmer winter there, and certainly here, you know, I live in New York, and it's about 40, 45 degrees today, which for mid-January is a pretty mild day. We haven't had a single snowfall yet that I've had to take the shovel, so maybe we had an inch, you know, like a dusting, but we've yet to have a major snowfall. It's still somewhat, in here in the Northeast, a mild winter, and natural gas has just completely gotten demolished, so I didn't think it actually cost me some money, because I thought gas would kind of hold around the $4.25 level for, you know, nat gas futures. It didn't. And, you know, it cost me some money in that. And it's going to take some time to recover, but I would suspect, given just how much natural gas has come off, that at this point, we're probably closer to a bottom and to think that we have another major leg down. So I would start looking at some of the beaten down gas stocks for some entry points.
Rick, thank you as always for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll chat with you next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA News Update. Russia's use of private military companies in Ukraine.
In the White House briefing yesterday, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby showed satellite images of Russian trains leaving North Korea in November with full cargo loads. The intermediary for these arms shipments is the mercenary Wagner Group.
As his military continues to struggle, President Putin is increasingly turning to Wagner.
By designating Wagner as a significant transnational criminal organization, the White House hopes to curtail Russia's efforts. In Washington, I'm Jared Rizzi.
A winter storm that dumped up to a foot of snow across parts of the Midwest this week coated the northeastern USA with flakes yesterday, and it's not done yet. More snow on the way for Sunday into Monday. That means more heavy snow for parts of New England on the way. Corey Myers, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. We went around the markets, as Rick always does provide us with insights on how he's trading those wide range of sectors. We're going to continue to focus on the markets with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, before we get into individual areas of the market that you either like or dislike, I just want to ask you about your view on trading that happens in either the first week or simply the first month of the year. We have a lot of commentators, and I read a lot of articles that simply say, look to January to give you some insights in terms of what the future for the rest of the year is going to hold. Last year, in all fairness, January was a pretty good barometer of what was going to happen because markets truly rolled over, especially the S&P in January. Dana, do you put much weight in how markets trade, how individual sectors trade at the very start of the year?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. January is a tricky month because in our experience, what we found in our research, you know, there is historical evidence for it being a barometer for the rest of the year. If you look on average throughout the history of the markets. On the other hand, there's also plenty of evidence. There's more evidence of January being an outlier month as well. So it often does give you a hint of what's coming. But if it doesn't, there are wild swings. You know, there are immediate failures post-January often. And there is just like the beginning of January, the market often turns on a dime at the start of the new year. Because of whatever various monetary financial considerations there are in the market, whether it's, you know, tax loss selling, whatever, there's often a switch that goes on in the very beginning of the year that can produce a head fake, but it can also produce, you know, it could be a heads up for what's to come throughout the course of the year. The, what's difficult is to hang your hat on either the end of the month or, you know, the real January barometer. The first 5 days of January is supposed to tell you what's going to happen the course of the year. It seems to me an extraordinarily difficult approach to take as an investor, to put your eggs in one basket based on what happens the first 5 days of January throughout the course of the year. But, you know, looking historically, there is evidence for that. But from our perspective, there's just as much evidence that you get these whiplashes, these head fakes during the month that can wreak havoc on markets. They can wreak havoc on market data. As you know, we're very quantitatively oriented. So our models are all based on objective market data, and sometimes January can play havoc on even on that data. So it can be a challenging environment based on what occurs during the month. So we'll go with our models, but we always have in the back of the head that, okay, it is January. We'll take it with a grain of salt, you know.
Yeah, Dan, I think that's a good adage to have, just take it with a grain of salt. And that's true of all seasonality, because we hear these adages in the market like the sell in May go away, or the tax loss selling, or the summer doldrums, or the January effect in this case. And it's got a 50-50 chance of being right. Either, hey, the year starts off bad and it stays bad, or it starts off bad and it goes good. There's so many things that can happen during the course of the year. And that's why we really appreciate you, because you're driven by quantitative models, by technical models, by data, by sentiment. And so when you're looking at the setup now, you had mentioned to us off mic that some of the signals that you follow in your proprietary method, like, show you a better setup than what you've seen recently. I'd love you to unpack that for investors.
Yeah, sure. So you guys know that we're generally bearish in the longer term outlook for stocks. You know, we think we're in a longer term cyclical or even secular bear market. There are plenty of excesses, plenty of froth in the system that still has to be wrung out. You know, 2022 wrung out some of it, but most of those measures are just down to normal extreme levels from, you know, record high levels. So I think there's a lot more downside to come. But in the intermediate term, which is, you know, a matter of 2 to 5 months generally, which is where our risk model operates. Yeah, we have seen improvement, you know, again, January being the tricky month that it is. We're careful that maybe it's having some undue impact on our data. But as you mentioned, we have seen a fair amount of improvement in our quantitative model, and so much, in fact, that it has turned positive on stocks now. So we came in really to this week with a fair amount of hedges on still, large cash position, and into the sell-off this week, we're covering a lot of shorts, and we're looking to add fair amount of long exposure. You know, if our model's correct, which we have to trust, then there could be a decent intermediate term bounce, an extension of that rally that we saw at the beginning of the year. So that's what we're setting up for. Again, with that thought in the back of our mind that it is January, so we'll see if that proves to be a head fake within this longer term bear market. But we are actively getting bullish right now. In fact, I think there's a lot of, if this thing does turn back up, there are a lot of good entry points here in some sectors that have recently improved their technical position and are set up for at least higher highs, if not, you know, new highs. You know, you're not going to see that in the growth area of the market, but there are some areas of the market that are potentially set up for new highs.
So, Dana, how significant is this, if we do get, let's say, another run higher, even in the broad averages, the fact that that would be a higher low, the first time in a long time, over a year, that we actually saw a higher low being formed in these markets?
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of stock, no pun intended, into The higher lows on some of the growthier areas of the market, you know, the stuff that experienced that blow off top about a year ago, the tech names, the NASDAQ, the growth, even those would bounce in an intermediate term rally right here. What I would look for is the potential for higher highs. And one segment of the market that we're seeing the potential for that would be the value space, whether it's small, mid, or large cap value. They did not go to those excesses that the growth space did into last year. They've been basically running in place for a couple years. They're not expensive. They're not frothy. And in fact, some of those segments, if you look for the right ETFs, if you look for the right indices, they're actually trading up near all-time highs, have not broken out yet, but are trading within arm's length of all-time highs. So if this intermediate term rally does continue, they have a legit shot at breaking out and moving to higher highs. So we'd rather have be in something like that. You have a lot more margin of error in those technically strong segments of the market than you do doing something like growth or tech that, yeah, may have a flash in the pan, strong mean reversion bounce off the lows, but it's not really going to get it anywhere. Eventually, they're going to fail, and we think there's another big leg down coming ahead at some point. So we'd rather be in those areas, like we think value, that has kind of that technical buffer of support underneath it.
All right, Dana, thank you as always for your time. Always interesting to hear what you are playing, what you're seeing in these markets, and it sounds like still a focus on the value side of the trade. In all fairness, the sectors that have done a little bit better broadly last year and even, I guess, into this year. But we'll see how this year plays out. Hopefully it's not as bad as last year. Oh, it might be, it sounds like. Thank you again for your time, Dana. We'll chat in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights. And you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are chatting with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at The Money Show. Now, Mike, throughout this show, we jumped around from market to market, which we probably will touch on some of the markets with you. But I want to take a step back, talk more big picture, economy, and tie that back into the markets. Because quite frankly, look, we've been reading about this whole recession ever since last year, and there are some reports that say a big recession is coming. We've also had guests, and this comment resonates a bit more with me, that are saying we are already in a recession. It's just, at least right now, a bit of a mild recession. The argument can be made we're 6 months into a recession, and most recessions, now this can vary, can last anywhere from a year, well, let's say right around a year to a year and a half. So that means we're arguably halfway through this recession, and it is no doubt a bit more mild if we truly are in a recession. What's your thought on the whole comment of if we are in a recession, just looking at some of the data, and how this plays out if we are in one, or if one's coming in terms of progress? Does the recession get worse? Are we hit with a shock? Or, quite frankly, are we just in a mild recession that could last maybe a little bit longer?
Sure. I think we got a couple of different, bogeys to consider or past comparisons that this kind of reminds me of. I mean, on the interest rate side, the Fed aggressiveness, the, you know, reaction to inflation and so on. I mean, this is a Fed that's been on the warpath like the late 1970s, early 1980s. And that's leading to what's likely a pretty deep recession that we're already in for sectors like housing and other things that are kind of uniquely tied or distinctly tied directly to what's going on in interest rates. So, I mean, I think, you know, are we in recession kind of depends on which sector you're talking about. Housing I would absolutely put in that category, and it's a pretty deep one in my opinion, or will be when all is said and done. You look at tech then, for example. Tech, to me, is the tech sector is very much in this kind of dot-com bust style recession that we're probably two-thirds of the way through here. I mean, you and I, we've all talked about just the evisceration of a lot of these money-losing tech companies, all these IPOs that flamed out. You know, those have all crashed and burned. You know, those companies are firing workers in droves. But now it's infecting the tech food chain. I mean, you look at Microsoft and Amazon, you know, right now, headlines in the news, they're looking to fire, cut 28,000 jobs, lay off 28,000 people combined. You have other tech companies, larger tech companies that are saying the same thing. Salesforce recently did, and you know, their Salesforce is kind of like the blue chip in the tech space, obviously the biggest tower in San Francisco and so on. So you're seeing in the tech space, you know, a pretty severe unfolding recession as well. For the broader economy, you go back to what happened with the tech sector. You know, the dot-com bust was very painful for the NASDAQ. It was very painful for the tech sector. But for the overall economy, it was, it was a mild recession. You know, at the time, it didn't feel like that. But in comparison to what we had in the Great Financial Crisis, in comparison to what we had very short and sharp in the case of COVID, probably not one of the worst recessions we've ever seen. Certainly not as severe as even what we saw in the early 1980s in the double-dip recession scenario. So to me, it's more of like a sector. What's already in recession? What looks like it's headed that way? And as far as the broad economy, I think we'll probably hit the technical definition of a recession. I mean, technically we already did, right? But I think we'll probably see it again. I believe we are going to see, you're starting to see in things like manufacturing and service sector reports weakening. That's forward-looking stuff. The labor market data, which is kind of backward-looking, is still solid. But, you know, even there's maybe some signs of weakening. And then you look at things like retail spending, again, tied to optimism, tied to housing, tied to markets in some way. You know, all that is starting to lag. So again, I think it's a market, there's an economy that some sectors are in recession, some are headed that way. The overall economy probably is headed that way. But I don't, you know, unless we get some massive credit crisis, something out of the blue, you know, I don't think we're going to have the kind of full-on, really, really deep, broad kind of great financial crisis type meltdown scenario that we had back in 07, 08, 09. From an investment standpoint, let's be honest. I mean, we had already a terrible year last year. I mean, the NASDAQ on a consistency basis, lost value all four quarters. That hasn't happened since the dot-com bust. So, you know, you're talking about the worst year in 20-plus years for the NASDAQ. The S&P was down, give or take, 18%, 19%, 20%, which I think worked out to the seventh or eighth worst decline on an annual basis in modern times. Obviously, you didn't get any protection from your bonds. The Treasury market had its worst year in decades. So we've already seen in a market, from a market standpoint, a lot of pain. And again, like I said, that's the broad average. Averages, when you look behind the averages at some of these subsectors in parts of parts of tech, for example, I mean, you're talking about declines that are as bad, if not in some cases worse than we saw in the dot-com bust. So a lot of pain has been spread throughout the markets is, I guess, my message, which means I've been negative, cautious, defensive, you know, pick your adjective for the last 18 months pretty much, seeing a lot of this coming. I'm more constructive now and looking forward, especially in the back half of this year. I think bargain hunting is probably going to pay off because a lot of assets have already melted down. A lot of, you know, more reasonable valuations have already been restored in many, many sectors of the market.
Well, Mike, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about is this an area where you would start looking for the bargains? Because to your point, it's been a stew of negativity for really the last year or so, really starting in the late 2021 and carrying through last year. And we have seen the housing market, the manufacturing market, even retail sales weren't that great lately. The one thing that has been holding up the markets has been the belief that the labor markets have been strong. But even that is still showing cracks under the surface. If we thread the needle, as some people say, and we have a softer landing rather than an all-out crash scenario, do you think that the markets in general will recover nicely through the second half of the year once the Fed is done tinkering with the rate hikes and they go to that pause mode where they just wait and see what's going to happen? Is that going to be a all-clear sign where most markets start to levitate a little bit more?
You know, I think you probably are pretty spot on there. I mean, if I look at, start with the Fed, obviously was on a rampage last year, very sharp, very quick hikes in interest rates, and we saw the impact in stocks. You saw the impact in long-duration assets like treasuries. You know, there really was no place to hide, with the exception, I might add, of gold, which didn't do great, but also outperformed stocks by about 20 percentage points, or 35 in the case of the NASDAQ. You know, looking at where we are now, the Fed is clearly dialing down its pace of rate hikes. They've already gone from 75 to 50 at the meeting that concludes on February 1st. They're probably going to downshift again to 25. That's what the rate futures market is almost locking in at this point. If you look at the pricing in the rate futures market over the next several meetings, there's still maybe one, possibly two more hikes that the market is kind of giving a decent probability to. But then the rate futures market is starting to look at a Fed that might be cutting rates by the end of the year. So in that environment, again, whether it's a pause, whether it's a mild pivot, unlike, you know, not like the last huge pivot that we saw, but even a mild pivot, you're going to remove that governor on the market, that pressure of ever-rising interest rates at an ever-faster pace. It's just like what I've been saying when it comes to precious metals with the dollar. The rising U.S. dollar was the big governor on the engine of precious metals all last year. Everybody notes that gold didn't do great, but by the end of the year, it was basically flat, which, again, beats stocks by 20 percentage points. And now, if you look at the last couple months of 2022 and early returns in this year, you can see that precious metals are doing very well, and that's because you've removed that governor. You removed that governor on the engine of a higher U.S. dollar and an ever-rising U.S. dollar. So I think the outlook there in particular is pretty good. So now, broad averages, probably going to struggle through the first quarter, maybe into the second. There's going to be chop. There's going to be bad news in the economic front. We're going to have to cope with recession headlines and so on. You know, so that people aren't going to be running around buying the heck out of the markets, in my opinion. But I do think as you get further into the year, the Fed will be behind us. They'll at least move to the sidelines, possibly even starting to cut a little bit. You'll have, you know, some of the more of these layoffs that'll be behind us. The job market data will look worse, but the forward-looking stuff will probably stop deteriorating. So when I get to the third quarter, fourth quarter, and then next year, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic. And I'll add, too, like, I think the time to start bargain hunting is probably already on us to some degree. I mean, you don't want to go hog wild, but I was trying to think of how to help theme our Las Vegas money show that's at the end of April. It's April 24th to 26th, and we actually settled on a bargain hunter's paradise because I think to some degree, you've seen so many assets, you've seen so many sectors, you've seen so many, you know, different things out there that you can invest in already get clobbered. You, me, none of us are good enough to peg the exact bottom and everything, but I've seen enough carnage that I'm willing to start, you know, tiptoeing into the market again, and especially as we get into the spring and summer, I think you're going to want to be even more aggressive with that. So, that's a different message and different approach, and, you know, we've been talking for a long time. I probably sound a lot different now than I did a year and a half ago.
Very interesting, Mike. Great chatting with you. As always, thanks for sharing some of the insights within the money show that you're seeing, as well as this big picture concept of a recession. And look, we're always going to hear the extremes on both sides of the argument, but I think a little bit more of a balanced approach is good, especially when, and I believe, we're in kind of the middle of at least mild recession right now. Mike, thank you as always for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. We had a lot more company updates this week. A lot more companies are getting active in the new year, so be sure to go back through our website and podcast and listen to especially those company updates. Everyone, Mike included, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Great talking to you. Take care.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.